By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. When the wicked carried us away in captivity, required from us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight here and now. In Isaiah's reading today, God's people are absolutely defeated. The temple's destroyed. They're taken into chains to Babylon, and they're alienated from their land and their God. This is the setting of Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7. What a mess. A real crisis of identity and faith. Are they still God's people? How can they worship in a foreign land? Does their story end here in exile? It's into this seemingly impossible situation, into this catastrophe, that Isaiah speaks of hope. Hope. He says, God will send someone, not a king, but a servant, a chosen leader, with a promise of restoration of the temple and their nation. You might think that that would be really impressive if all that happened. But wait, that's not all. There's more. There's a paradigm shift in focus described here. A shift from total despair to a description of something completely new that God has in mind. Something bigger, something better that will outdo what the people could ever have in mind. Here it is. The message of hope isn't only for Israel. It's for the whole world. Someone obscure, least expected, a servant, will be used to bring glory to God. A savior for the whole world. He will restore Israel and all creation as well. As I reflect on this, it isn't the first time that God chooses unlikely candidates. I think of Rahab, the prostitute, David, a shepherd boy, Mary, young, unmarried, and pregnant. But God? God makes them significant in his plan. He makes them significant. How often is our own view of things short-sighted, too small? Likely, you have experienced a crisis, and maybe it's with your health, or maybe it's financial. And when the crisis passes, you think to yourself, phew, I dodged that bullet. That was a close call. You might think that when the crisis passes, that's the end of it. but the story isn't over. And we thank God for getting us out of that one. Here's the thing. God isn't done with us yet. Sometimes what may seem like the story is over is just the beginning of something new, something big. Restoration for Israel wasn't only about rebuilding the temple and returning to their land. God had a much bigger plan in mind. His plan includes restoring the whole world to a world where God's rule is acknowledged, where it's safe and peaceful, where nature flourishes, where people flourish too. Imagine that. And so it is that we read Psalm 40. This psalm isn't really a prayer, but instead, it's kind of like a report on the status or outcome of previous prayers. We've got reports due soon, and this is a report of a different sort. David says, I waited patiently for God, for the Lord. That's kind of the title of one of my favorite hymns, Felix Mendelssohn. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Well, for me, this begs the question. When did I ever wait patiently for anything without frustration and a certain amount of anxiety? I'm someone who wants to get on with it. I don't want to waste time. You know, that kind of person. Waiting patiently is, for me, a miracle. The Apostle Paul says, patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I guess I've got quite a bit of growing to do. So if we have prayed and are waiting on God, are we really listening? Are we taking the wax out of our ears? Or maybe the analogy should be, if we're waiting for a phone call, is our phone charged? Is there something standing in the way of you hearing God's call? God wants us to delight in Him, in hearing His voice, in pleasing Him. How effortless it is for lovers to seek ways to please each other. That's the kind of heart that God desires from us, that of a lover. Love reciprocated, that deep, emotional, authentic response to Him. The outcome will inevitably be, as David says, blessed is the man, happy is the person. He's describing here not happy like, whoa, I'm having a good time, happy. He's describing here a state of the soul, a gift from God, a calming heartbeat for those who trust. And now, John's Gospel. John's Gospel, as we may or may not remember, it says at the beginning, it was written that we might believe. His words are both simple. I remember the first Bible verse I ever memorized in Sunday school was out of the book of John 3:16. Simple, and yet very complex. Kind of like a pool in which a child can wade and an elephant can swim. In today's reading, John has already testified who he himself is, and that is, he's not the Messiah, he's not Elijah, but he's a voice crying out in the wilderness. The other accounts of this episode, the other accounts in Matthew and Mark, have to a large extent shaped our picture of John the Baptist. You know, you could probably tell me off the top of your head what he was wearing and what he was eating, and who his family, or what his family ties are with Jesus. But the writer of John instead testifies to the identity of Jesus. So he's not giving you the look. He's giving you the details of Jesus' identity. The Lamb of God. How the Spirit descended on Jesus. The identifying sign of the dove. Those are the things that John covers. And here in this passage, the door is open to the role of testimony. The witness. It's here that we learn that because of John's testimony, two people followed Jesus. It's here that Jesus invited these two to come and see. And here's what's significant. They were listening. They heard the phone ring. The wax was out of their ears. And when they listened, they recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. Remember, patience? The long-awaited Messiah. The outcome is that one of the two ran to tell his brother about his discovery, to lay witness to what he heard. And we know what happened next. Jesus called his brother too. And you know what? He called him by name. That person was Simon Peter. And with Simon Peter, a whole new chapter begins. So here's the summary. 3 points. God's call can come from different, unexpected places. It might come from Babylon, the desert. Who knows? It can come from different places. Number two, God's call can come at different times. Not necessarily when you want it to come, not necessarily when you expect it to come. Maybe you've even given up on that call coming. You've stopped waiting on the Lord. Number three, you have a choice to answer that call or not. To hear the message or not. But guaranteed, the story doesn't end there. Praise the Lord, God of Israel. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen.